Continue with our media availabilities in advance of today's 65th running of the Daytona 500. We are joined by three of our grand marshals for today. I think a lot of you guys know their statistics, but we'll run through a couple of them quickly for you as a reminder that all of our grand marshals that we have today are both a Daytona 500 champion and also a NASCAR Cup Series champion. On the far side from me, we have Jeff Gordon, who has three Daytona 500 championships and four NASCAR Cup Series championships, was inducted into the NASCAR Hall of Fame in 2019. In the middle, we have Bill Elliott, who has two Daytona 500 wins and is the 1988 Cup Series champion, was inducted into the NASCAR Hall of Fame in 2015. And then closest to me, we have Dale Jarrett, who has three Daytona 500 victories and won the 1999 Cup Series title and was a 2014 NASCAR Hall of Fame inductee. Gentlemen, I just have a quick question for each of the three of you. We can go down the line. Start with you, Dale. Just what does it mean to be a part of this Grand Marshal group today for the 75th anniversary of NASCAR?
Pretty incredible. You know, I had really never looked back and thought about the drivers and the group that may have done both. And as the call came about this opportunity, I started looking at that and realizing just what a select group that we're involved in here. I mean, you think about all the drivers that have come through this sport through the years, and you have some that won this race, and then you have others that just won a championship, but to put the two together, very humbling, and just glad to be here and part of it today.
Awesome.
Yeah, me as well. You know, to be here with these guys is very special, very rewarding, looking back on all the years, you know, seeing a lot of familiar faces in the audience and or out here, and a lot of unfamiliar faces, but, you know, things have changed. Sports changed a lot, but still, we still bring the fans back to the stands, and that's the most important part.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I just look at these two guys. My very first Daytona 500, I got to race with Bill in the duels and then all day in the 500, and then at the end of that race.
You raced too good at part of that 500.
Yeah, well.
You're supposed to pass in the grass.
There was no rules. There was no rules. And then with Dale, you know, it was just this incredible battle to see him make the smart moves. He had a good car, but he made the best decisions that day because I thought I needed to stick with the other Dale, and that was my best bet, and he outdid all of us. So, you know, just those kinds of memories of racing with these guys, especially here at Daytona, and learning from them. And then, you know, I came into the sport with not a lot of history knowledge of the sport because I came from open wheel racing and dirt track racing. And so I was on this steep climb, but today, you know, being 51 and being a part of the sport as much as I have, I just have this greater appreciation and eagerness to dive into the history of Hendrick Motorsports, of past drivers that set the stage for guys like me to be able to come in and thrive, and also, you know, Hendrick Motorsports, because we're closing in on 40 years at Hendrick next year. So this is a real honor for me.
All right, we're going to open up to questions. We're going to start with Jordan, then we'll go to Zach.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. This is for all three of you. You guys are all multi-time champions of this race. Denny Hamlin, another multi-time Daytona 500 champion, is in this race. I'm curious, from your observation, what makes Denny so good in these races that he's won three of them?
Who?
Decision-making, I think. You know, I mean, if you took a snapshot at the end of these races over the last 6-7 years, that 11 car is always there. And, you know, Denny understands when he has the car that is capable of leading and controlling the race, he also understands when he doesn't have that and where he needs to position himself, that in my opinion. And, you know, you don't see him get himself in too many bad spots through this. And it's always fun to see, you know, what way he's going to go about trying to be a part of that snapshot at the end. And I think that today might be one of his bigger challenges to do that. But I'm pretty sure that we'll see him there battling to get that fourth win.
I think you did a good job. That was very political, Dale.
The only thing I would add to that is that, you know, a lot of people come to Daytona and they see drafting and they go, oh, you just got to be really lucky. But if you look at guys who have won it multiple times, that there is, to Dale's point, like there's just this effort and decision-making, not only by the driver, but by the team and whether it's strategy or things that happen on pit road to get themselves in position towards the end of the race to have the luck or the good fortune, you know, go their way. And I think that's been ramped up to another level because of stage racing. You know, now there's points on the line, so it's harder at those ends of the stage to give up points and fall back and take the conservative approach because you want to be there at the end, because now you're giving those points up to somebody else. So, I do think that all these drivers, but Denny certainly, he'll have a big challenge, you know, on his hands trying to balance that out today, but he is one of the best.
But I do see he's with his particular car, he's been able to push and maintain better than a lot of guys. I mean, give him the credit of what he does. Denny's done an excellent job. Don't get me wrong, by no means. But, you know, watching his car and his ability of being able to draft and push in a lot of situations that other cars can't do the same. And that's what I've looked at over the last few years is, you know, the Gibbs car seemed to be kind of a pretty good check mark in that department.
We're going to go to Zach and then Jacob and then Dan.
Zach Sterniolo, NASCAR.com. This is also for all three of you. And Bill and Jeff, you've both talked about kind of just how much the sport in general has evolved and with the stage racing factor here as well. So as you look at super speedway racing, how different is today's era of super speedway racing and how much more difficult does that make it to win a race like this?
Well, I'm going to jump in right now and go back to 1993, that Daytona 500. You had to handle. Your car had to have grip. I mean, you took two tires, you might get track position, you might have some speed for a while, but you're going to then pay the price. You know, today it just seems like, you know, the cars are stuck a little bit more. They don't give up as much. Maybe a little bit here, you know, on a hot, sunny day like today, these guys might have their hands full at times. But back then, it was... you had to drive this car in this race and you had to set up a pass and move or use, you know, the group behind you. And you could maybe kind of break free a little bit and have a breather where maybe you were a five car breakaway at times in the closing laps like that race was at the end.
Well, I see it also is you watch the races the other night and watch them unfold and you see all the different guys being able to be up front from the guys that are the super good teams to the less funded teams. And everybody's kind of in the same position. Everybody's capable of putting themselves in a position to win. And that's where the strategy and being in the right place kind of at the right time and the key move and whatever you can do. And, you know, and sometimes you just got to see what plays out. You know, there's a set of cards dealt to you and that's what you get, you know, and you try to make it work and sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. And I think it's going to be harder today than it has been. You know, everybody's as close as they are, the cars as close as they are, as hard as everybody's running, everybody wants to win the Daytona 500. And I think that's where it's going to end up.
Yeah. And the changes that they can make and the box is so small as to what they can do to, you know, try to help their driver to, I won't say get an advantage, but to be better than others. You know, I think they look more just trimming out now. Jeff talked about the 93 500. I think you took two tires also. I know Earnhardt did. I'm not sure if you did, but my car handled better. Jimmy Maycar,
you won that race because you were out handling.
Yes.
Which I actually think Dale lost when I went back. He lost a few Daytona 500s, not just because of the bad luck, but, you know, his car at the end of that race was always fast, but it looked like it was sliding around a good bit. But, yeah. You know, your car was driving great. Mine was maybe driving as good as him. I just wasn't prepared to know what to do with it.
I think you did pretty good. But now it's just so different. I mean, the cars are in a pack. It looks like it's very, very difficult. You know, you always had to figure, where could I be lined up in the last 10 laps of this race? How far can I go forward? And I think now that, you know, you really look at it, if things line up, then fifth is about as far back as you can think you might win it. I can remember sitting back 10th or 12th in this race, knowing what my car was capable of and being able to do that without a lot of help. You always needed some help, but they can't do that now. And, you know, we talked about stage racing. You know, I understand points are valuable anywhere and everywhere that you can get them. But as a driver, in my mind, today would be the last thing I'd be thinking about. I'm taking no chances. You know, this is about that trophy right there, nothing else. You know, when you have that, you see the opportunities that you get to be an old guy and come up here and people actually listen to what you might say.
I'm going to bring Dale into my next crew chief and driver meeting. so he could give that exact same speech.
Yeah, why are you doing that anyway?
Oh, God, here we go. Don't get Bill fired up.
I'm going to go to Jacob and then Dan.
Jacob Seelman, 77sportsmedia, kickingthetires.net. I guess for all three of you, Jeff and Bill, you can probably start this off, and then DJ, if you've got some perspective maybe from your dad's viewpoints, you can chime in as well. All three of you either are personally experiencing it or have a family member that's experienced, you know, kind of the feeling of watching somebody else that you care about or have a vested interest in try to win this race. How is the intensity of being in a position where you're not in control of the outcome different than when the three of you were behind the wheel, you know, more in control of your own destiny in this race?
You got four children. Go ahead.
Well, I can just tell you just from Thursday in the second duel when the five car who's locked into the front row wanted these points that we're just talking about in that race that I was, you know, I had the text already written out. Pull out, bailed. Forget, we don't need it. And you know, they were fighting hard for that. And you saw it was this close to getting caught up in the incident with Gilliland. Thank goodness he saved the car. But you know, my heart was beating out of my chest right there. And not having control when I was in the car, you were calm. Yeah, there were moments where your heart rate would ramp up in a moment like that, but you felt like, yeah, I got this. I watched these guys getting bump draft down the back straightaway, and it looks like they're going to spin out every single lap. And then I talked to them, and they go, yeah, it's not so bad. You know, like my car's driving pretty good when I get pushed, and I'm like, it doesn't look like it at all. And I'll also just say one more thing is when I went up to the TV booth with Daryl the first year out getting out of the car, and I went up there and watched whether it was the first duel or maybe it was the clash or something, and I said, these guys are crazy. I said, what's going on? He goes, you were doing the same thing last year. I said, there's no way what I was doing was like this. He goes, oh, yeah, it was. And, you know, you just, from a different perspective, you just don't realize until you're in it and you're comfortable with it and you get into a routine of just how kind of hair-raising and wild that is. But, man, I certainly have a different perspective on it now.
Well, seeing at it from the dad standpoint, it's tough to watch. I mean, because, you know, you get so emotionally involved just from the standpoint of being your kid. And, you know, you see things, well, that guy shouldn't have done this or should have done that, or he did this or he did that. And I try not to be the soccer dad, you know, and say things I shouldn't say. Sometimes that's why I go hide somewhere. But, you know, sometimes I want to say a lot more than what I do. But, you know, sometimes it's just circumstances and just the way it is. But, man, these guys, they race hard. I mean, all these guys are, you know, want to win. There's a lot of good teams, a lot of good people, you know, a lot of things. You know, you look at Sunday afternoon, what all can happen. And it's just amazing to me the few things that do happen on a Sunday afternoon, you know, really.
Yeah, and, you know, thinking back to advice from my dad, and it, you know, it certainly there were times that he would be a little critical, but as many of you know my dad, he wasn't going to ever be over the top with that. He's just like, figure it out on your own. You know, you're the one that's sitting there. You have to go get the job done. I can turn it over. Obviously, I had a son, Jason, that drove, never drove in the Daytona 500, so not to that point. But, you know, I realized that you want to help as much as you can, but it's, you know, you can tell somebody how to drive a race car and what to do, but until you're there in that moment, you really don't think about all of those things at that particular time. I have the same thing with my son, Zach, in baseball, you know, trying to make it to that top level. You know, making it to AAA is one thing, but then taking that next step. And you want to be able to help him. You know, I'm like, why did you swing at that breaking ball? Obviously, you weren't going to hit it, but, you know, that's easy for me to say, hard whenever he's out there doing it. So, difficult thing to be a parent watching this.
I'm going to go to Dan, Matt, and then Chris.
Thanks. This question is for Jeff. Jeff, what do you see are the one or two biggest challenges facing NASCAR into the future?
Jeez, just hit me with the biggest one right there. I thought we were keeping this a little light. Well, I mean, obviously you always want to grow the sport and you want to grow the fan base. So I think it's just that balance. If I'm thinking right now, it's just that find that balance between our core fans and the fans that, you know, have been a part of this sport through generations of passing it down to kids and grandkids who are passionate about this sport, love this sport, as well as opening up the doors to young new fans and you know, more diverse fans. And I think that you got to always think about how we're going to grow the sport and appeal to more people and have a broader audience. But at the same time, we're here today, and I'm more excited about how big today is going to be right now because we got a sold-out race. The infield is more packed than I've ever seen. Coming off the Super Bowl, Fox doing the Super Bowl, that's going to transfer over to more viewership today. Beautiful day. So I would say right now, as I stand here today, everything is right. Everything feels really good.
We'll see you in 4 or 5 hours. So.
Yeah.
Could change. Something's to change.
It's Daytona. There's no doubt something's going to change.
I'm going to go to Matt and then Chris.
Matt Weaver, Motorsports Tribune. A question for all three of you. I feel like during the course of your careers, every industry is cyclical, right? And NASCAR was low and then it's high and then it goes low. And I feel like we're kind of on the upswing right now. And I'm curious, do all three of you see parallels to today to where the sport was in the early 90s before it took off again? And are we about to take off again?
You go with that one.
Here's how I judge it, right? I judge it off of fan interaction and interest. And again, look what's happening right now. Now, we need to keep this going to the other tracks as we leave here, too, to keep that momentum. But I also judge it off of sponsor interest. And, you know, I mean, just this week we signed, you know, an extension with one of our great partners with Ally and signed on Coca-Cola. Haven't been with them since 1996. So, you know, there's definitely seems to be a little more interest and excitement and momentum. I think NASCAR is doing a great job. We've got a golden opportunity here, right, to show the past, present, and future with 75th anniversary. We're going to Chicago, a new track that I think is going to open the door for a lot of excitement and people that maybe have never seen a NASCAR race before. We're going back to North Wilkesboro. I mean, so I think there's a lot of great things that are happening right now. But it goes, again, in Chicago and North Wilkesboro are exactly what I was saying. That's us looking at our past, rewarding our past, and finding a way to connect to that. And then Chicago is our future. You know, are we gonna be able to go to other places outside of the U.S. into major cities or you know, markets that we've never been able to go before? This next gen car, while it has many challenges, it does offer, I think, the opportunity to do that, to do the Coliseum, to do street courses or maybe other courses, you know, within the U.S. and outside of it.
I think that's a very fair question. I mean, I don't think anybody in here has the answer to the question. I mean, you can look at it and look at the sport. I mean, the way it was, if I look at it when I was growing up in the 60s and 70s and, you know, Cale and Pearson and Patty and all the guys, Dale's dad and all the people that were really instrumental in getting the sport going and where it evolved to. And, you know, and it's kind of gone up and down the last few years. I think it's going to depend on more of the economy and where things are driven as we go on the next number of years, you know, how we transition over to electric, if that's the way society's going to go, how the younger generation. You know, I just wish there was a better parallel over some of the grassroots fans being able to transition into this era, because a lot that I hear from my old fan group is like, some of this stuff they don't understand, like the stage race and a lot of that stuff. They just want to see a race, period. You know, and that's, I think, some of that fan base you lose is hard to get back, because they're the ones, you know, when I drove into Rockingham and Darlington, that were sleeping on hood of their cars in the rain to watch a race. You know, and you know, you don't want to alienate those guys, but then again, you want to grow the sport into the next generation, too, and generations to come. So, you know, I'm glad I'm not sitting in that position to try to guide the ship. So, you know, I'll just stay where I'm at. I'm fine, you know. So there you go.
I have to say I like the direction. You know, I know there's a number of people within NASCAR from different parts of it that are kind of moving things forward. I think that having a young mind like Ben Kennedy is outstanding, and he's doing really good things. Steve Phelps, I think, great leader here, and you know, I know that you know, Mike Helton's not out front, but I think he has enough input to keep things moving in the direction, and I like the direction of where the sport's going. I'm basing a lot of what I see off of not only the competition that we saw last year, because it's easy to take a year like we had last year and say, oh my gosh, you know, we're at the top again. No, we're moving there, and last year was a big push with that. But what I'm basing it off of are people that come to me and say, hey, I really never used to watch NASCAR, but over the last 2 years, I've started watching. I like what I see, the competition, and their understanding that. And a lot of these are younger people. And so I really do believe that we're on an upswing, and I hope that we can continue with that and get this sport where it belongs. And I think that it is in front of the right people, and we get an influx of bigger companies, or not necessarily bigger, but the big companies are out there that see that this is a place to be now.
We're going to try to get a couple more in before our grand marshals have to move on to the rest of their schedule. We're going to go to Chris on the far right, and then we'll go to Al on the far left.
Thank you guys for coming. Chris Gollin with News Daytona Beach. I'm going to make it a quick little two-parter. Number one, I was wondering how much you guys have had hands-on experience with the next-gen car, and what are your opinions of it? And as a little aside, if we got you guys on the track today, who do you think would turn the best lap?
Well, I've had no experience with the next gen, other than see it in a garage and in their shop. That's
can
that's,
I just say this? If you put the three of us in a next gen car, we'd all run the same speed. I mean, you're going to hold it just wide open here. Now, you take it to a road course or something. Who the heck knows? But
know who would run third in that road course race? But that's
me. Me. No, we'd fight each other for that one.
I don't know. Did we answer that question?
Not really.
We don't have. I mean, I know you see the car a lot. I've not been in one. Yeah. You know, I talk to drivers about it. The difference is in driving. You know, when doing that, you know, talking to someone like Kevin Harvick, who you know has been around since 2001, driving at the Cup level. You know, I could relate and talk to him more about it. So that's my experience with it. Haven't gotten that chance. But also talk to Jeff Burton, who I have the good fortune of working with. In the NBC side, and you know he has a car that he drives, and he knows a lot more about it, and has had the opportunity to do things with it. So you know he fills me in on the differences in it. I can sit here and say, don't know that I would like the feel of that, but I enjoy watching the drivers that do it today.
And yeah, I was supposed to drive the car. I think last year when they were doing some rain tire testing at Martinsville, I've been wanting to get in the car just to fill it out, not necessarily go do a test or compete in any way. But that was an opportunity. NASCAR said, hey, would you be interested? Because I do like Martinsville. You know, it's one of my favorite tracks. It's one that I feel like maybe I could have somewhat of good feel still for. But I thought that was pretty unique to see what it would do in the wet. Unfortunately, I got sick and I couldn't make it. So we'll see if I get another shot at that one day.
Well, we're going to wrap up quickly with Al.
Yeah, Al Pearson, Auto Week, my 54th consecutive 500. So well, I've seen all of you guys. Petty came in yesterday, and Richard said he didn't think that you guys back then, y'all had more fun than today's drivers. He said he would not enjoy racing today's cars versus the old cars. Do y'all kind of feel that same way, or do you know?
Don't we all? Everybody in here say it was always more fun back in the day. It just seems like that's
was.
Yeah, exactly. Here's what I know from and just from what I see, you know, interacting with the teams at Hendrick. Every year you're trying to improve your level of competition and make your cars better, make your teams better, and the driver plays a big role in that, obviously. And they are having to interact and gather more information and. They're having to work out. You got to be better physically fit. You got to be in the simulator. You've got to be in meetings. You're doing things for your sponsors. You're trying to interact with fans. There is a lot on their plate, and I do think that you know the business is very serious. And while I took it serious throughout the years, I felt like the schedule maybe I don't know just seemed to allow some opportunities and some things that I did have fun, but. On race day, I didn't unless I won. You know, you took it very serious. But these guys just seem to be pretty serious all the time because that's sort of the flow of the sport, you know, today in order to compete at a high level.
Yeah, I'll just say I had fun. So I don't know how much fun they're having, but I had a great time. You know, I got to drive a car and compete at the highest level. And, you know, that was great fun. And compete against people that like this, that are great champions, you know, and still be friends with most of the time. That's I enjoyed that part of it. You know, it's just such a totally different world. Jeff was talking about a simulator. If that's how I would have had to learn to drive a race car, I'm not sure how good I would have been. But you know, then I think back to 1999. There was a month that, in a 30-day period, I was in a race car 28 of 30 days, and you know, that's a lot of time in the car. But that's the only way that I thought that I could become better and make everything better for my race team. So I had fun. So I hope that they're having some fun out here.
I'm with Dale in the you know, simulator department. I'd never make it. You know, it'd be tough this day and time. But I just think that I really think we had a great time back at the point. You look back at the days and the era. I think kind of looking back at my career, the worst 6 years was trying to own my own deal. But then when I came back with Ray Everham, I think that was the best thing ever happened to me. So. You know, it was fun, had a great time, and enjoyed every minute of it.
There's time for fun later, in retirement, like I'm having all this fun right now.
Yeah, why are you doing obvious, this, Jeff?
I have no idea.
who's making you do this?
For some reason, I actually want to do it. I don't know how it came to this, but for some reason, I'm like, I have a desk job, I'm behind a computer, I meet with sponsors, I'm running here, running there, and I love it. I don't know. Hey, listen, I will tell you this. I had no idea how much foam was happening out in the infield till I retired.
Was that the gas fumes or the walls you hit?
Yeah, maybe.
All right, gentlemen, thanks for joining us.
Can I take 1 second? My mom, as many of you know, passed away 2 weeks ago today. But my dad, this is from my dad, just saying thank you. Many of you reached out to myself trying to get in touch with my dad, which is hard to do. I have a hard time getting in touch with my dad. But to all of you that reached out, your prayers, your thoughts, my dad is doing pretty well. But, you know, we had my mom for 91 wonderful years, and she lived a great life. And we're going to miss her. But my dad just wanted me to say thank you to all of you for reaching out and everything that you said. So thank you.